time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes. We here. Back. Black. History. Yeah. You know?
Blacker than ever.
Hell yeah. Blacker than ever. Shout out to y'all for listening. Always good to be in the canal. That was wild. Oh man, that was wild. But you know, look, man, it's good that y'all can hear us. Y'all here for the conversation. Always, always, yes, for sure. What's good with you, Muhammad? How you feeling?
Everything good. I'm feeling blacker than ever, as we spoke about, you know what I'm saying? For, you know, one reason, because I am. Second reason, I just got back from Miami, so my tan is feeling good, you know what I mean? Feeling like I had some sun on my face, you know what I'm talking about? Feeling good about that.
Ah, shit, they got temperature stunting. I hear that. That's beautiful. Came from the, you went to the beach, went to the cradle. To sit and recharge a little bit.
Yeah. I went on back to the mothership. You know what I'm saying? Felt the breeze, felt the sun, observed, read the clouds. You know what I'm saying? You know, the clouds different down there than they are anywhere else.
Sit so a little. Cotton candy, right?
Cotton candy clouds right before sunset, but they sit a lot lower. You know what I'm saying? They feel like they're much closer, almost like you can touch them. But wow, that was cool, man. Got to see a lot of good people, man. Do just chill and just have no fucking agenda, you know what I'm saying? Just be, you know what I'm saying? And that felt great, you know, that felt free, you know? And now I'm back to how do I make that every day, you know?
That sounds like, that's a nice little mission. Let me ask you this. When you first touched down in Miami, right? Obviously, getting on, you're flying now, whatever, you're touching down, boom. What's the moment or where do you go to where you feel like, oh, I'm home now. Like this, I'm back in Miami. You know, like.
You land, nigga.
As soon as you hit
feel the outside. You know what I'm saying? Not the, okay, the tarmac. You like, oh shit! But as soon as you do walk out that door of the goddamn airport, when the AC, the doors open and the AC ends and the real outside begins, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. I know this place. You know what I'm saying?
You know the smell.
The smell. The heat. You know. It's just like you're just close to the water. You could kind of sense that you. Next to the sea salt and the, you know what I'm saying, the sea breeze and the, you know what I mean, the type of trees you're looking at, the foliage is different, you know what I'm saying? It's just like going to LA, they got different foliage, you know what I'm saying?
Got you. But I mean, like, even more specifically, like specific to your own life ritual or your own touch points. Obviously, Miami is the ultimate, you know, that's the touch point. You feel, you know, you swim out, you jump out there, like everything you said, you feel the temperature, you feel the humidity, all of that. But is there like a, you know how like when you pulling up or someplace you ain't been to, you might hit a turn and pull up on a block and you like, oh, or you know, you go to a certain place to eat and you just like, oh, and shit just, it kind of hits you like. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah,
I'm
you got that kind of stuff. A lot of stuff has changed.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, you hit your neighborhood. You hit, you know what I'm saying? You start seeing certain things. Like, in my neighborhood, there are some big-ass TV antennas. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And they just tall as fuck. And they not close by my house, but you can see them from my house. And when my dad was teaching me north, south, east, and west, I had to be about 5 years old. And he was like, that way is north. You know what I'm saying? When you stand in front of this house and you look that way, that's north. And when I looked up in the air, it was those TV antennas. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So those always represented north. You know what I mean? When I see those, I know which way we going. You know what I mean? But I had went to swimming practice, you know what I'm saying, after that. I was still about five, maybe before 6 years old. And my sister was supposed to, she took me, and then when I came out, I was looking for her, but she wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? So I waited around for a little bit,
and she still wasn't there. This like 13 blocks away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so she, after I waited around and everybody left and I was just out there by myself, I looked up in the sky. I saw those antennas. And I was like, oh, that's north. All I do is go back the other way. You know what I'm saying? And then, So I walked straight down the block. And then I got to the main street and you got to cross over. And at the time when we first moved there, you got the turnpike overpass on 183rd right there at 12th Avenue. Mm. And there's like a little a walkway. You walk under the underpass. But on that walkway, they had sprayed "niggas go home" because this is the beginning of a white flight. And you know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's just that "niggas go home." And a nigga like me was like, shit, I'm home. I know where to go from there. I live right over there. You know what I'm saying?
right. Good looking out. Yeah.
Thank you. Wow. But when I see those, you know what I'm saying, it's weird because they don't have nothing to do with Miami. You can see those anywhere. But when I see those in Miami, those particular TV antennas, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm home for real. Yeah, you hit the blocks. You hit all. But the place was, you know, to me, it was like a playground. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because like, I come from a big family, you know what I'm saying, which was iterated. We had a funeral on Friday, so I got to see a lot of everybody. But you got a big family. And every, like, black neighborhood from, you know what I'm saying, from County Line Road on down to Coconut Grove, there was somebody in our family that lived in all those black neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? And then if you can go to Fort Lauderdale, we had people in Fort Lauderdale too. So it was like you just moving around. It's like all of it is, it felt like each place was different. But being in the city, shit, I'm in the city. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they'll look at you like, you don't even look like you're from Miami. But I'm Miami. I done did all of the Miami. You know what I'm saying? So I just like the touchdown. I don't have to be a specific place. It just be a touchdown, you know?
Gotcha. It's all over, the whole spot. Hear that?
Yeah. That's the whole spot made me feel that way. I don't have no claim on the whole spot, but you know.
Right. But it's a touch point.
Right.
It's
so a touch you point. Ride through, it's like, okay, yeah, I remember being over here. I remember my uncle stayed over there. My cousins lived in those projects right there. You know what I'm saying? You just ride through. It's just all this information flowing as you're going. You know what I'm saying? Even in Little Haiti, you know what I'm saying? I'm not Haitian or nothing. But I have friends that's Haitian that, you know what I'm saying, had a store in Little Haiti. He lived on my block. So I would go with them to buy food from the wholesale spot and take it to the store in Little Haiti. And I knew Little Haiti. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't no foreign place to me.
And it was always Little Haiti as far as you can remember?
Yeah. I mean, Haitians probably started coming in the 60s like that, 70s. By the time I'm of age to be moving around, like 8, 9 years old, yeah, they was fully formed. And then the cat across the street from me, he was Haitian, and his parents owned that store. But he was like a spoil. Mm. He was spoiled. That nigga had every toy. Nigga had a motherfucking nigga got a dirt bike for Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Like, we rode that motherfucker. We all took turns riding that motherfucker. Like, who the fuck parents? My parents weren't buying no dirt bikes, but he had one. So that's why I learned how to ride a motorcycle with him.
Right.
Nigel.
Right.
My man, shout out to Nigel. I don't know where he at, but I ain't seen him in years, but shout out to Nigel. All
right. Shout out to Nigel. Sorry for your loss. So you also you had a funeral.
Yeah, my aunt Maxine died. Shout out to Maxine. Maxine, she was always, like I say, it's a big family. So my mom had 11 brothers and sisters. So that's 1,000 of us. Once you add the cousins and you know what I'm saying, all that type shit. So at my grandma's house, at any given time, it might have been, you know what I'm saying, 13 people. Then you add me and my sister, that's 15. My other cousin might come, that's 16. You know what I'm saying? So it's always a house full of people. But during the era that I grew up in, Maxine was always the cook. You know what I'm saying? She always made the meals. You know what I mean? She, you know, they talked about at her funeral how she used to do. And I'm not sure what they did during the week, but on the weekend, she made the meals. And on Friday, she always made fried chicken and homemade biscuits with the alga syrup. And that was a mainstay. Like, every, you know what I'm saying? People would come just to come get some motherfucking chicken and biscuits.
With the who syrup? Algo syrup?
Alga. A-L-G-A. It's a place called Alga, Georgia. They specialize in this syrup, and it's a real thick ass, you know what I'm saying? To us, it was a hood syrup, but you know what I'm saying? From the people that was from Georgia, that was just a country syrup. That was good to them, you know what I'm saying? But it's a it's a spot in South Georgia. I think it's Alga, Georgia. And they are known for their syrup.
Yeah, I see it. It's cane syrup. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
So that was like the Friday mainstay that Maxine always, you know what I'm saying, fried the chicken, made the homemade biscuits, then you got the butter and the motherfucking alga. It was, I mean, my whole life, that's what she did.
Damn. Yeah. That's what's up. Well, salute, rest in power to your Aunt Maxine. Yeah, man.
Maxine held it down. I mean, she was real low key. She wasn't the social one that wanted out there like that. But she was very important to you know what I'm saying? Like, so like in the thing they were saying, like, you know, in the early days, you know, she was still working out her recipes. I'm like, nigga, if she wasn't making no food, we would have starved. Leave Maxine alone.
That's funny. That's how I be sometimes, the generational shit. Like, because my mom's, when she would cook, my mom's could fry good chicken. Mm-hmm. I remember her frying good chicken. Mm-hmm. But when I tell my brother and my sister, who are like 13 and 15 years older than me, respectively, they was like, what? Like, when I say certain shit like that, they like, wait, she did what? She cooked what? Are you serious? Like, you know what I mean? Because that era, I guess she's still getting it together. Her pots and pan game wasn't where it should be. But, yeah. It's just interesting to see that. Like you said, you had so many people in your family and so many different generations and eras that it's always interesting to see, like, the perspectives from one generation, you know, to another, you know what I mean? Like, you just see those perspectives and things. Mm-hmm. So it's
shout out to Aunt Maxine, man.
Yeah.
You know. Hey. So that was cool. I got to see all a lot of people, my sister, my aunts and uncles, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Got to observe, you know, just the dynamic of it all. Now I'm a grown person. I ain't been around that much as a grown up, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, a different dynamic than where you fell before you left. You know what I'm saying? You was a youngster when you left. Now you fully grown and shit with your own shit. So now you can see, you know, it's still weird with everybody trying to figure out your place. You know what I'm saying? As it is now. So I just was chilling. You know what I'm saying? The best compliment I got from all of the ones was, Ali still Ali, boy. He's still the same.
that's good. That's good. More often than not. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
He's consistent. That's him. Somebody said something. They're like, nah, that's Ali.
Hilarious. That's what's up. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what's up. Did most of your family stay in Miami, or did they venture off like you?
Man, you got me, my sister, got my cousin. A couple of my cousins. Few of them living in Atlanta.
Okay.
Maxine's daughter, she's in Arizona, so she came in. But it's still a lot of them there, you know what I'm saying, or close enough to there. Mm-hmm. So, again, with my grandma, her 12 kids, then she got motherfucking 4 sisters, 3 of them living in Miami. All of them got about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know what I'm saying? It's a bunch of motherfuckers, man. There's a bunch of them. Like, we rolled up to the bowling alley. I saw Chip in there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's what's up.
It's a bunch. It's a bunch in this family. You know what I'm saying? You got your Opelika clan. You got Chip Nim, which is the Coopers. Then you got us. You know, the Lockets and Opa Lockets. There's a bunch of them. You know, it's, you know, I'm just used to the family always being omnipresent when I'm in Dallas.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah, I ain't grew up with a whole lot of family. I have a fairly large family, but like it was spread out a little bit. And then, you know, like I told you, as far as my nuclear family, my sister and my brother, they a lot older than me. Then later on, I have my stepbrother who's 6 years older than me. But I never really had like a super crowded house. Like I got family, you know, and then I think like later on, I would kind of get a little reconnected like towards, I guess, damn near shit like college age, you know what I mean? Started connecting with some of my family or whatever that was, from, you know, further out. You know, I moved. They were, you know what I mean? And then it was just like, I didn't grow up with a whole, like, big ass, like, crowded house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'd be around people who may have had big, not even, honestly, I'd be around a couple people who had fairly large families, but for the most part, it was me and some older people. You know what I'm saying? It was always like a couple.
I guess because I had that big family, but I didn't live in a house that was crowded. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Sometimes I have a couple cousins that was here from Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? That may have felt crowded, but that was three extra people, me, my sister. That's five, maybe six of us all together. That's probably the most. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, it was me, my pops, my sister, and my grandma. That's the steady yeti, the foe. But you know what I'm saying? You always had your own space, and if you did, you could go outside, you know what I mean? But I ain't lived in a crowded house on the weekends, and then you had to learn how to fit in, you know what I'm saying? That'd be the thing. You got to learn your place. Where do I fall within this group of people? And those are lessons that I took throughout my life, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way I work is based off of, you know what I'm saying, dealing with how I fit into this space, being the only one of my age, the only male of my age, rather, and then all of these people. So it's like you had to figure your way, because ain't nobody sitting around, ain't nobody got time to get to know you. You know what I mean?
Onboard you. Yeah, Orientation.
Ain't no orientation, nigga.
Right.
Get in where you fit in.
Right, basically. Yeah, that's what's up. Oh, man. That algo syrup, man, I looked at that shit. It looked like it's interesting. It got me thinking.
It's his own type of thing. Now, it ain't, you know, it ain't Miss Butterworth.
Okay. All right. I like the warning, the disclaimer. Like, listen, this is to be reckoned with. He said it's a thick ass syrup. It's thick.
You know what I'm saying? And again, it's not maple, it's cane. You know what I mean? I don't know the difference. Sugar. Yeah, I guess it's just sugar syrup. I don't know. I just know it was a thing. They must have brought it down with them from Georgia, some slave shit. I don't know.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Well, hey, salute to the ancestors. You know what I mean? With the original algorithm, the algorithm. You know what I mean? But yeah, that cane sugar sound like it's just a little bit more intense. You know, like I know, you know how people go crazy over the Mexican Coca-Cola, you know, and then you go look at the ingredients and it's like pure cane sugar. You know, it's not it's not anything else. This is that uncut pure.
The original cocaine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or even, you know, sugar cane. You know, like going back in the day, getting you like a little stick of sugar cane and like kind of chewing on that shit, like catching a little fix. I don't know if you ever did that.
Oh yeah, that was some Miami shit.
Okay. You know yeah.
They sell sugar cane on the corner. Sugar cane. Then you buy it, cut it up. I like to put that shit in the refrigerator, that shit be cold. You bite into that shit good.
I never thought about putting it in the fridge. I ain't had no sugar cane in a long time. But I say all that to say, it reminds me, I had my physical last week, and my numbers, my sugar numbers is kind of high. You know what I mean? Like, dangerously high, like I'm low-key playing myself. You know what I'm saying? I've played myself for many years. You know what I'm saying? And I knew this physical was going to reveal some shit, because you was wilding. You know what I mean? You know your behavior, you know your life, if you're paying attention, if you take a stock. So I already kind of already knew, like, Doc, look, things might be a little elevated. So, and they are a little elevated. Shout out to, I'm not across the threshold yet, but it's not a good look. I need to take some control. Speaking of which, real quick though, speaking of, diabetes, I don't have diabetes, but you know, scared, you know, I'm actually doing a benefit for juvenile diabetes, Thursday at the stand. So if you're around, go check that out. But I think there's still some tickets available, but I'm trying to chill on sugar, and you know, it's tough, dog, because I like, it's not just flat out sugar. I like flat out sugar too. I like, you know, brownies and shit, fucking gummies and cookies and juice. I like all of that, but then I also like pasta and fucking bread and patties. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot that, you know, that you gotta really contend with. So I'm really, really, really trying to be more diligent about just eating way more vegetables, trying to, you know, drink a whole bunch of water. Drinking water is not the hardest thing for me. It's just staying away from the, like, you know, sugar's like drugs. Yeah. Sugar's like drugs. Yeah, like, that shit is, it's a drug. That shit is a drug. So it's like, I ain't even all the way falling all the way back, but I could already feel a little bit of withdrawal. My mood be a little funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you get your little cravings and shit, you know, and it's shit is crazy. It's like, I feel like an alcoholic a little bit. Like when I, you know, when I get some juice in the crib. First of all, I shouldn't even buy juice. But I'm like so used, I'm just like, let me just buy one little thing of juice and I try to stretch it. You know what I mean? Like, I got to drink juice like whiskey now. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's how I feel like alcoholic. You know, alcoholic niggas, they always be like, I just want a taste. You know what I mean? Let me just get a taste. You know what I mean? That's I mean, you pour these little bullshit ass pours of fucking lemonade iced tea. You know what I'm saying? So it's brown. Just like a little, like, let me get two fingers. You know, a little two fingers of lemonade iced tea. That shit hit the spot. But it only get me hyped. It's like, now I'm circling back like a fiend. So I gotta be easy and chill and like, you know, just really be diligent. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know how there's things that you know that you have to do and you intend to do, but you know from the door, you're like, this gonna be a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you about to go up against the number one rated, you know, ranked, you know what I'm saying, competitor. Like, sugar's number one in my conference. You know what I mean? I don't even know who's number two. Salt maybe is number two, but like far behind. But number one, sugar done beat us by 40 before. You know what I'm saying? Like, sugar go crazy. So I got a big game against sugar. And hopefully we can pull this shit out, man. I'm trying to be cool. Trying to not fuck with a whole lot of carbs and all of that type of shit. If any of the listeners are like not veggie, like if y'all good with your salads and you know you're good health people, you got good recipes or good alternative snacks and things of that nature, hit me in the comments or send me some shit in the DMs, man. I'm gonna need all of the tools that I could get, all of the help that I could get, because again, that sugar lineup is stacked. They go crazy. So yeah, man. Yeah, that's that. What is it for you? Are you a you sugar salt? What you? I know you. You know you got a. You've talked about dietary shit. You know what I'm saying? Things of that nature. Like, what's your weakness? Yeah.
I think my biggest problem is I don't drink water. I stay chronically dehydrated just because it's like today. You know what I'm saying? I just go, and then all of a sudden you're hungry. You know what I'm saying? That's not good.
Right.
That's probably worse for me than eating a bunch of shit. You know what I'm saying? So I just go, then it's time to eat. And then it's like, oh, shit, now I'm starving. I got to eat just to not pass out. Right. You know what I'm saying? Then a lot of times it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you get your hands on quickest. So I think my biggest downfall is not eating regularly.
Okay.
Waiting till the last minute and now I'm just eating whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever's available, whatever you can grab quick.
And not drinking enough water all the time. I think that's what really, you know what I'm saying, spikes everything. I would say shit, but I guess my biggest downfall is probably steaks and burgers.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, red meat. Yeah.
I don't buy juice in the house that much, so I don't pretty much have that stuff around.
You drinking? You don't drink water, you ain't drinking what you drinking in the house?
Well, you do drink water, but I don't drink it enough. You know what I'm saying? I don't just sit around and just I don't pull me a carafe of water every morning and just drink on it. Then by lunch I refill it. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I might get to work and then don't do shit until 4 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I in the house right now I got some vegetable juice.
And you made it yourself or you bought it?
No, I bought it. Like, you know, the Suji vegetable juice that's at the store.
I know that.
And then I got a couple bottles of rosé in there.
Okay. I hear that. A lot of shit.
I guess my biggest vice is beer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't drink it. I don't drink a lot, but I might drink it 4 times a week.
You know, okay.
Can here, you know what I'm saying? A couple cans there.
What is it? The Tropicalia? Still fucking with that or something different?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have none at this moment, but you know,
okay.
When I do,
I got to try that. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, fried foods when I'm just out there grazing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I was be telling the daughters, you know, a nigga will have a wing every now and then, you know.
Right. Okay. Every so often, yeah.
I walk up in there, but what up? It's like it's your little homie half dead.
You might find a wing in your inspection.
Hey, nah. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
I don't eat them all the time. I try to restrain from them, but you know. You will get a taste of some black man kryptonite every night again.
Yeah. You go regular wing or you go lemon pepper or hot wing? What's your
wing of regular ass breaded fried wing, the whole one.
The traditional wing. Yeah.
Now, Publix got some regular breaded pieces, like, you know what I'm saying, the sections. But I'll get those too. But. What I'm really looking for, if I'm looking for a wing, is a fried wing, like a whole one.
Yeah, I could dig it.
Somebody seasoned and, you know what I'm saying, shook up in a bag type shit.
Yeah, love. yeah. Damn.
That's what I be, it ain't easy to find, and that's a good thing, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, that's true.
They don't sell those everywhere, you know what I mean? So, you know, you got to pick and choose your places.
Right. And,
like, lemon pepper and all that should be too fucking salty for me.
Salty, yeah. Everybody can't do it. And sometimes it be more salt, pork. Like, there don't be enough, like meat on the bone. You know what I'm saying?
Be more salt than meat.
Hey, shit, it's like, it's all salt and bread. And that's what that shit is crazy. That shit is crazy half the time. These, like, the little wing spots. I told you, I went out to, last time I was out to Georgia, I went to American Deli twice because I wanted to see what the hubbub was about. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was good, but the, like, the wing sizes ain't what they used to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I guess, you know, like, I remember, as you say, the traditional wing, like a real chicken wing, had three parts.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. And every part was essential in my eyes.
That's what I'm saying.
Every part.
You need it. See, sometimes you might break that bitch in three. You know what I'm saying? Then you save the little niblets for the end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like a roach. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man, this is crazy.
Man, it is. It is, but it's the reality. Cause somebody understand exactly what we saying. But anyway, yeah. So that's,
somebody said they was listening to an old throwback. They went back and listened to an old throwback, and we had a philosophical conversation about wings.
We probably did. I'm sure we did. Because it's a lot. I mean,
listen to us now.
It's a lot. That shit is. It means a lot. A wing means a lot. A wing is wing is the one. A wing is the one. I think a wing might be. Damn, I don't know if it's number one.
And one over what?
It depends. If I had to rank chicken pieces, my top three chicken pieces, and I don't know, I'm not sure if wing is in, like, number one. Mm-hmm. My top three is wing, thigh, leg. Mm. That's where I'm at with a wing, mm-hmm. a thigh, leg. I like a good wing in any capacity, fried or even roasted. I like mm-hmm. a roasted wing, too, when that shit get crispy on the, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And all that little flavors tucked in the wing of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a beautiful thing.
I got wing one.
Uh-huh.
Flats two.
Well, that's part of the wing.
I know,
that's
I'm just telling you, I'm just
okay,
telling
go
you.
Ahead. My okay, favorite. go ahead. I like the delineation.
Flats two. And then I might take a leg and then a thigh.
Okay.
I like the simplicity of a leg. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could take a leg and put that shit in a piece of bread and have a sandwich with the bone in it. And then,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You could do all that. Yeah. Like I done snatched a leg off the fried chicken plate and threw it in a piece of bread and had a whole situation.
For sure. A thigh, you need to kind of sit down.
Yeah, you got to get yourself together.
Yeah. It's a lot of moving parts with that.
And my homeboy mm-hmm. T, my mm-hmm. homeboy T, he was my, he lived across the hall from me freshman year. And I started coming, that's who I started coming to Atlanta with first. He was from Atlanta, Summerhill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I came here for Thanksgiving. And his grandma, mm-hmm. his grandma was cooking Thanksgiving dinner and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But before she do anything, before she finishes her meal, she fries a thing of chicken just so people can have while they waiting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Wow.
Like, it's
some
always
interim
like
chicken.
A thing of fried chicken while she baking the turkey and making stuffing and all that shit. But then niggas just come in and nibble on a little wing or nibble on the leg or something. I thought that was very thoughtful.
That's customer service. Yeah, no, for sure. That's comfort. That is comfort. And this need for concern, but still, that's a lot of comfort.
I mean, this was before the concern. This the late 80s, nigga. You know what I'm saying? 89, 90. Niggas was not concerned, man.
No. That's funny.
It wasn't where we at now. Like.
Right. It's no need for alarm.
Nah, it was just, that was grandma's hands, you know?
Right. That's fly. Interim wing. You know what I'm saying? While
you
wait.
Interim what?
Interim wing. You know what I mean? While you wait. Hold that. That's for you. That's for the little time being.
Stay out my kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Most people just be like, stay out my kitchen. You be out there like stomach grumbling. You smelling all the food. She at least has something for the people, you know what I mean? And I thought that was a new, I had never seen that before, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's what's up. Speaking of that, this is my last little chicken portion. So you know, we talked a lot about wings, and we're talking about chicken. And, you know, I guess we've done that on the record many times. I think I've sent you this video before. We've discussed it. But there's a video where there's a cat who's doing a blind taste test of various fried chicken from various outlets. So it's like Popeyes, Church's, Publix, KFC, I forget, maybe about 5 or 6 different outlets. And this cat is blindfolded. He just, you know what I mean, just taking a bite out of this, and he's identifying it. And this shit was, at first glance, you like, yo, this is ridiculous. This is a little over the top. It's a little OD. But not even second glance, in the midst of the first glance, there was a part of me that was like, I think I could do that. You know what I mean? I hate to say it, but I think I haven't had Publix chicken in a very long time, so I might just know Publix out of process of elimination. But I could tell you blindfolded the difference between, obviously, Popeyes and KFC. That's easy. I think that's rudimentary. I think anybody could do that. I haven't had Churches in a while either.
But you're going to know. You're going to know that big-ass, dry-ass. Not dry, but big-ass. It's funny tasting. I ain't ate Churches, and I only had it a few times in my life. And the skin is good, but the meat is funny. What kind of meat is this?
That's hilarious.
I don't know about this. It's always too fat. You know what I'm saying? Like too bulky, like brolic ass chicken leg. And then, you know what I'm saying, the season don't get past the crust. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah. So but you got to really deal with it.
And that damn crust is good now. You know what I'm saying? Not like, again, I won't go over there to get it. But the times I did have it, I was like, the crust is all right, but it ain't no Popeyes. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, later in life, you know, even before Popeyes, it was the KFC. Before Popeyes came in.
Yeah. Popeyes put KFC to sleep, but KFC still good on the nostalgia.
They still going. I don't know why, but they still there.
It's that nostalgia.
They still.
There's a few things KFC I think does better than Popeyes in my mind. I think their biscuits are better. That might be, I don't know. Their biscuits are better. The biscuits are fluffier. They got nice little chew to them. I mean, it's been a minute, but I might go as far as say I like their mashed potatoes, boy, better.
And they say KFC is the third
ranked
fast food brand.
I mean, wow. Under who? McDonald's has got to be number one.
I'm sure. I don't know.
Taco Bell might be number two.
I just looked at KFC.
Okay. I would think Taco Bell might be number two.
Hold on. Let me see what they say. Bam.
We need some interim wings.
Number of McDonald's, of course, is number one.
Of course. Golden Arches.
Shit. Damn. I can't get an official breakdown this quick.
it's still a dispute.
McDonald's is undisputably number one.
KFC number two. I mean, KFC number three.
KFC was ranked number three.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
But, you know. Damn. I don't know what to go by. I don't know the real shit.
That's actually surprising to me. That's actually surprising because in the streets you would feel like Popeyes put them down, even though
I don't know what's going on with Popeyes though.
I don't know either. Popeyes. It's been a little turbulent for Popeyes. I know there was a Popeyes on 125th and St. Nick, right there on the corner. Mm-hmm. Prime location for a Popeyes. Hey, you know what I mean? Say what you want. And that shit went out of business. And I was like, yo, what happened here? But then they moved it further in the block. And I'm like, maybe that must have been a lease thing. Because for a while, it was no Popeyes. I'm like, yo, why is there no Popeyes on 125th? And, like, that seems like there should be no way. Like, I could see other things going out of business, but not Popeyes right there. You know what I mean? But, you know, they moved it over, and it's a smaller location. So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that was just a little too hyper local, but that's what made me have a little bit of concern. I got some other shit that I want to talk about later on about market leaders. But go ahead. What are you about to say?
My concern with Popeyes here in Atlanta, which is a lot different because they got space in their own little settled locations. they're beginning to paint all of the Popeyes white,
blue,
and turquoise blue.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. That shit don't even say chicken.
That shit don't even feel like chicken. It's like somebody painted their house.
Yeah. I guess that's an overall overhaul. Because yes, the one that's down here, the one that's at the spot that I'm talking about, is definitely, I don't know if it's all white, but definitely Popeyes is in blue. And I think when I see that color blue, I think fish filet. I don't even think chicken. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious what they're trying to do. Because that's
it traditional. It's an ugly white. They look like they rush painting it. Don't even look like it's a good paint job. They didn't change the color of the words. So the words still orange. And then you got a white and a Tiffany blue building.
Yeah.
But then the inside is still orange and shit. Like, man, this shit look crazy. They tripping.
Yeah. Pray for Popeyes, y'all.
Should we?
I don't know. I mean, they ain't praying for us. You know what I'm saying? They ain't praying for us. Niggas putting fucking Don Julio in the Popeyes.
I mean, Popeyes doing whatever, man. They trying to win. But they are doing too much.
They gonna be all right. shit, man. What else is going on with you?
Nah, shit. That's it. Just trying to get life to life, and you know what I'm saying?
Now
that I'm back free, how do I stay in a mindset of being free? You know what I mean? How do you do that? Yeah, how do I keep that shit going? How do I keep the momentum, the Miami momentum, to pushing me in the places that I just want to be in? You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just doing shit you got to do. Because in this space, you realize, man, I've been just doing what I got to do and fucking shit since the 90s, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really took time to really say, you know what, yeah, I'ma just do me. You know what I'm saying? I've done my own stuff, but it was still in a pursuit and a chase of this and that and this bill and that bill. I was working through my problems as opposed to working just the plan. And now I just had to create a new plan to take me through the rest of this time nigga got left. Since nigga almost didn't have this time left. So I am very intentional about finding the things that is what the shit I want to do. Fuck it.
Yeah.
The rest of it don't even matter. So that's what I'm on, man. Just getting myself together to do that. And other than that, I don't really see much else, man. I'm just trying to keep myself clean, keep all of, you know what I'm saying? Not adding shit just to add it, just because I can. Oh, I could do that. Let me go get that little money. I'm not adding shit just to add it, because when you add all that shit, when the real shit come about, you got too much shit going on to do the real shit. You're like, damn, I got to finish this, I got to finish that. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Just work on the shit I want to work on.
Yeah. I understand that.
I don't know what that is yet, but that's my sentiment. I know that shit might sound crazy, but
I don't think that's what I'm on. Yeah. Keep us posted on that shit, because that's a, for sure. That takes a level of patience and discernment. You know what I'm saying? Like to say, okay, now, nah, like this is this, I respond to this, this shit. This shit is just going to keep me busy for busy's sake. You know what I mean? Because neither one is wrong, you know? Like, there's a time when sometimes when you feel like, oh, shit, I got to, you know what I mean? Like, if you, like, and we've talked about this before, but, like, if busy is your... Like, you know, it's your modus operandi. That's where you at typically. That's your baseline is being busy. When you say, yo, I'ma chill and I'ma be a little bit more discerning about what I do because I wanna be more connected to what I do. I wanna be more fulfilled. I wanna be intentional, all of that. When you get in that well, I can speak for myself. I don't say you. When I get in that, sometimes if I'm not mindful enough to realize it's not a state of emergency. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm not moving like this frantically, you know what I'm saying? Getting things together, that this is not a disaster. Mm-hmm. This is a pivot. This is a recalibration. You know what I'm saying? It's like meditation. You know, like, I've always tried, I dabble in meditation here and there. It's very fucking hard for me to, like, be still, quiet my mind, and you know what I mean? Like, and commit to it to where it's like, I don't worry, I don't bug out, and I don't judge, because that's the other part of it, too. It's like, you know, idle ass, shiftless. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of shit for me that feels knee jerk to, like, if I see a motherfucker just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Even the way I say chilling just sound, it don't even sound cool. This motherfucker just chilling. You know what I'm saying? And we've talked about this before, but a lot of that busy shit is a performance. Mm-hmm. You know? And yeah, man, it's. And to your point about even, you know, it's very interesting about the fact that one of the things that reminds you of Miami, or, you know, when you go there and you see the antenna, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And the whole thing was like, I'm trying to get back to this frequency, and you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, just tap into the source.
I brought it all back.
You know what I mean? Come on now. Come on. That's what I'm just saying. That's it. Yeah. But that's sometimes when you're too busy, you can't get the connection.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes right. you gotta let that shit just, oh, here it go. And that's always been kind of tough for me, I'll be honest with you. And I've been trying to, for a long time, and, you know, trying to figure out what it is that I want.
Right.
You know, like, what do you want? Like, when somebody say, yo, what you want out of life? You know, like, it seems like such an easy question. I could give you some top line shit, you know what I mean? But then it's like, but what do I really want? And then what is it? Do I really want that? Or do I see people with that? And I feel like, well, then my peer said, or this is what seems to be the wave or whatever. And maybe you get to some of that shit and you're like, hey, this didn't hit like I thought it was going to hit, you know? Mm. And it's just like, sometimes you kind of gotta be quiet, or you gotta be, as you would say, like, real attuned to, like, what resonates with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, going back, like you said, going back at some old documents, old writings, or, you know, like, all types of shit. Like, you gotta really, what do they call that? Like, when they excavate your own life sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta really get into it, whatever.
But, yeah, man. It's like when you have a brush with death and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
Again, like, when I woke up and they told me that shit, and I'm my stupid ass go look up the goddamn statistics of niggas who died from that shit, and be like, God damn, you very small. You're a very small percentage. And the question was, if my shit was over last night, would I have been happy with that shit? And I couldn't answer yes. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have been happy. You know what I mean? It felt like I left a lot on the table. I didn't do a lot. I didn't do the shit I wanted to do. I did a lot of shit, but I didn't do the shit I wanted to do. And I want to fix that. You know what I'm saying? And I have to fix that, because I don't want to live knowing that I ain't doing the shit that I could do. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, when I was just starting to come, when I was just trying to get in the game, and my cousin, he went to jail. He was 18, but he was a very efficient jail. He knew how to make shit happen. You know what I'm saying? Even in there, he knew how to make shit happen out here. And he called me one time. He always seen the call when you sleep in the middle of the day. You ask the phone, hello? Like, nigga, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? Then you got to get yourself up. Then he'll ask you some shit. He asked you the last time. And then you be like, I ain't did that shit. Like, nigga, what you waiting on, nigga? You free. That shit fucked me up, dog. I had to get my shit together. I had to pull myself together, dog. Because he was right. Nigga, I'm free. And I can do all this shit. But when you got all these options, you won't be doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because you think you got time. You got fucking. But then when you run out of time, it'd be like, damn, I need to really do this shit. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah. You got time on the clock. Game is still in play. For sure.
Hell yeah, nigga.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Roberta Flack. Yeah, man.
Rest in peace, Roberta Flack.
You said who's Roberta Flack?
I said rest in peace to Roberta.
Roberta Flack.
I might have jumbled it a little bit, but
I thought you said
everybody knew what I was talking about.
Nah, yeah, rest in peace. It's coincidental. Like a few months ago, I forget where I was flying back from. I think maybe I was flying back from Georgia. And I was watching this documentary on Roberta Flack. It's called Roberta. I think it's streaming on Apple TV or something like that. Shout out to my man Mike Tyner, who's one of the producers of the documentary. I found out when I was watching, I was looking at the credits or whatever, and I just actually bumped into him at the Brooklyn Museum not too long ago. But yeah, man, it's a really good documentary on her, because I didn't know a lot about her. Like, you know, obviously Killing Them Softly, you know, her and Donny Hathaway, you know what I'm saying? They're like chemistry and you know, their duets and things of that nature. But like, she was, one thing I did know, and I guess it kind of gave a little bit more context. There's this spot, there's this building. I want to say it's the Dakota. I want to say it's the Dakota, not the Apthorpe. There's these two buildings that are on the Upper West Side, these huge fucking big ass like apartment buildings. And one is called the Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I think, what's his name used to live there too? What's my man? What's the Beatle that got killed? Imagine. The Beatle. What's this? Obviously, Paul McCartney's the one that's still alive. Yeah, he's in. Yoko Ono was his wife. I know somebody yelling at the speaker. It's such and such. Come on, man.
Hip hop baby.
right. Like, who's Wu-Tang Clan? Wu-Tang Clan. Remember that video? John Lennon. John Lennon was killed right outside the Dakota. I believe he lived in the Dakota, and the stalker shot him like right outside the joint. Mm-hmm. But I want to say Roberta Flack lived in the Dakota as well too. Like, it ain't this nice little spot, nice little place to be. You know what I'm saying? Outside of what happened to John. But it's a nice little spot. But when I was watching her documentary, she was just like a shrewd business person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, even before she popped, like, she was doing well. I think writing songs and, you know, like doing well. Mm-hmm. She has one record. I can't remember the name of the record, but I think Clint Eastwood came across it. And he was like, yo, he wanted to, you know, use it for a sync. Mm-hmm. And in the negotiation, her deal point was like, look, if you use it, you got to play the whole song. Yeah, that shit. You gotta play the whole song. Don't give me no snippet. You gotta play the whole record in this joint. And they played the whole record in the movie. That's records is long for a movie.
Time, records was long in general.
Yeah, that shit
you
was
play a whole record nowadays. That shit a minute and 30 seconds.
That's true. That's true as hell. Yeah, back then, yeah, that shit had a bridge and it had all types of fucking sec. You know, yeah. But anyway, and this was a while ago, so I might be kind of botching a little bit of the paraphrase. But yo, y'all check out salute to Roberta Flack. But if you get a chance, check that documentary out. It was really good, man. It gives you like a really big scope of her career and her impact. You know what I mean? Like, we losing a lot of, you know, not, well, we losing a lot of legends, and, you know, they did legendary things, and that's just the, that's just how life goes, you know what I mean? It starts and ends, and there's still legends out here, you know what I mean? But, you know, since it's Black History Year, y'all go ahead and stream that if you could go find it. It's worth your time, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
What's good with you?
Man, I'm shit, man. I'm all right. I'm all right, man. Just moving and grooving, man. Actually, I'm, you know, I've been saying the last 2 weeks in a row that, like, yo, I got this thing coming up. So, look, finally it's up. The tickets are up. I'm going to put them on my site. But March 14th, I'll be at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia. That's a Friday night. I'm doing one night only, 9:30 show. If you live in that area, go ahead to ArlingtonDraftHouse.com, buy some tickets. Or by the time this drops, you can go to DamianLemon.com and buy some tickets. Also, you know, I'm going to be in Belmore at Brokerage March 28th and 29th. I'm still going to be at Comedy Vault in Batria, Illinois on June. I want to say June 26th to the 28th. But and then, you know, we still adding to the calendar. But what I wanted to talk about, but we about to jet. What you laughing at? I'm
just, you wrap that shit up.
No. With the people that go to DamianLemon.com for sure. Go to the joint. I wanted to talk. We'll talk about this next. I got this theory, man. I've been paying attention. Like, I think, you know, we could kind of maybe unpack it next week. I've been kind of flirting with this thing for a bit, but I'm starting to see this correlation between, like, Drake and Nike, you know, like in the way that, as I was talking about, you know, like leaders of categories, right? So, like, you know, y'all know Drake. You guys are familiar with what's been going on with him. I'm not sure if you've heard, but he was in a rap battle recently, and it, you know, it didn't really go his way. So a lot of people were kind of counting the kid out. Some people was like, ah. You know, I've always felt like the kid was going to be all right. You know, he went through it, but he's going to be all right. And, you know, he put out that album with Party Next Door. It did very well. There's a whole lot that if we unpack it, we could get into it. But then on the opposite side, Nike as a brand has been, it's been going through it. You know, and Nike is for as long as, damn near as long as I can remember. But at least 30 plus years, Nike has been undisputed number one, you know what I'm saying, sneaker brand, you know? And they probably still number one. I feel like they still number one, but shit has been, you know, it's been kind of, it's not undisputed anymore, you know? Like this. We could, I mean, unless you want to talk about it now, we could go back. What you, how, I mean, you feel?
It's off the cuff for me, but you know what I'm saying? They did it to themselves, man. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think that? Because I got a reason too, but go ahead. Why?
My reasons is, you know, they created the scarcity of the, you know what I'm saying, the drops. Mm-hmm. Only certain people could get them. And then, you know, after a while, you know, niggas knew how to rig the system. And then regular people couldn't get the drops. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying, the little rich kids, they got all the drops for everybody. You can't sustain being cool when only little rich kids got your shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, the streets got to want your shoes, man. And the streets did want your shoes for a long time. The J's, But once that shit got crazy, you know what I'm saying, got them and all that shit, the sneaker app and all that shit, it became easy to just go pay a motherfucking Louis Vuittons or Gucci's or Christian Louboutin sneakers. And the higher fashion brands got in the sneakers. And niggas with money and the cool motherfuckers, they started going away from just wearing Nikes. You know what I'm saying? And that just became, you know, something else. Then on the other hand, we talked about, like, right around the 2007s, they started endorsing all of the white boys and turning all of the black shoes, putting SB on them and marketing them to the skateboarders. And then they started, you know, paying the white boy influencers. When the black dudes, they just might get some free shoes. You know what I'm saying? All right, we might put your logo on it and then keep it moving, but that's all for free. You know what I'm saying? So now, you've invested in a culture that's not making them cool. You know what I'm saying? And now you're left with a brand that's just a lot of shit, and you don't have to cool on it no more. Like, the cool motherfuckers ain't really like, shit, I got to have some Nikes to be cool. The cool motherfuckers wearing all kind of shit, wearing all kind of big bottom ass, big platform ass shoes now. You know what I'm saying? Because niggas had to switch it up. You weren't going to get the coolest Jordan because, you know what I'm saying, they was going to give them out to their friends and whoever else got the one, the app. So that's just my take on it. I think they invested in the wrong audience, just like some of these music labels have. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying? They stopped investing in the black consumer like I liked it. I thought they should, as the black consumers was really once making that shit hot. But that's just me.
Mm. I appreciate that take. You took it from a whole different angle. You know, like,
I didn't know where your angle was coming from, but you said it.
There's a lot of what you said that I really fuck with, you know, and that's definitely my take. What I was gonna say was, I think they both are dealing with adversity, Drake and Nike, right? At one point, they had these long runs. You know what I'm saying? Respectively, you know what I'm saying? They had these long runs where they were like number one, or they were like the leader in the space. Mm-hmm. And then they started to get challenged, and there was interest elsewhere. And now they kind of got to fight back for their position, and they seem to be doing it in different capacities. Right. So my thing with Nike, with a lot of what you said, I agree with, but one of the things that I've been saying for a while was, one, Nike was like, in my mind, obviously they're what they make money from is probably stuff that I'm not even all the way hip to, but I felt like there was so much money put in the retro space. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just all of these retro models, whether it's retro Jordans, whether it's just, you know, 95, like all of these retros. Mm-hmm. But they wasn't really creating too much new technology, right? Like, Nike in the 90s was a lot of new tech and new silhouettes. Like, you know, from one shoe to another, it was an entirely different silhouette. It was like, oh shit, it's a whole new experience, right? I don't see that. I've been saying, a friend of mine, and again, like, this is just my own interaction with the brand, but like, I was looking at like some of the basketball sneakers, and okay, LeBron, his line, they definitely have a distinct look to it, and there may be a difference between a LeBron, there is a difference between maybe a LeBron 7 and a LeBron 11. Like, it looks different. But when I look at like the Kobe's and the KD's and the Kyrie's, I felt like the three of those, and then you could add some of those, like the ancillary other smaller, like less high profile players, they could be under this umbrella too. But I felt like Kobe, KD, Kyrie, then the three Ks, KKK. Oh shit, wait a minute. But you know what I mean? Ooh, stay woke. But I felt like that silhouette was like damn near all, they were sharing the same silhouette. Like, it didn't look like much innovation. And then Jordan, you know, everybody, like, this probably, I don't know, maybe fourth, fifth time that you've retroed the Jordan 1 bread, maybe even more than that. Like, and then now this one is like, this is the closest to the one that came out in 85 and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, I noticed, like, you know, one, it's the 40th year of Jordan. So Jordan is like, this should be a banner year for Jordan, right? They really going it, but they're throwing every fucking, like, everything is out. And back to what you was talking about the whole sneakers app shit, like, they trying to, like, manipulate this fake scarcity to kind of get people in the spirit of hype again, to like stoke some FOMO. You know what I mean? And And maybe because I'm older and I've seen this shit, this psych, I've seen it all before and I know how this shit is manipulated or whatever, that I'm kind of like, and I'm like, I've been burnt enough times to where I'm like, man, fuck that. If it's retail, I'll try, but after that, I'm cool. I'm not paying resale for anything. But then I do see certain people kind of falling for the bait. Then I see this most recent thing about, you know, salute to Nigel Sylvester, you know, the whole bike air thing or whatever. But I noticed, like, you know, he got a Fire 4 coming out, but conveniently a train was just robbed and wanted 1985 pairs of sneakers who were taken. 1985 pairs? 1985? 40 years? Like, what the fuck is going on? Some of this shit, maybe I got a tinfoil hat on, but some of this shit just seems like, y'all, you know, they, y'all, come on. Come on now. What the fuck is going on? It's marketing, and it's just like, it's not even sleight of hand no more. It's just ham-fisted. Again, you know what I'm saying?
All this marketing, but the cool people ain't involved.
They ain't fucking with it.
Involved. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
It. You know what I'm saying? Like, wearing a bread is not finna give you no extra points outside.
Not like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they used to. But once niggas wasn't involved and wasn't the cool of the cool of your brand, they went on to something else. They doing other
shit. Yeah.
Things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, moved around. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Because it's...
I think...
Go ahead.
I will say this, though. They have been fucking with the technology. It's just invisible to us. They haven't been fucking with the style. They haven't made styles. See, they thought they could do what they did before. They created shoes for ball. They created the technology for the sport. And then people adopted it into their everyday lives. But the difference was the shoes they were making then fit in your everyday life, and it made you look cool, and it made life look cool. The shit they making now, the new shit, these running shoes, they don't make you feel cool. You know what I'm saying? Walking outside like, oh shit, what's those? You know what I'm saying? That's not how that shit is with the stuff that y'all making. And how far can you go with a shoe? Like, have we reached the tipping point of shoe design? You know what I'm saying? Or is there other designs that can be made that we haven't tapped into yet? And I think that's the race. Right now, nobody ain't got no fly-ass designs for real. You know what I'm saying? Even the fly shit just got brand. And the legacy of the brand and the cost. But you go into fucking Saks and Neiman, you look at these shoes like, man, this shit was Bobos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've never been a big luxury sneaker fan. But they always kind of felt like just skips with good leather to me more often than not.
But
yeah.
That's the flex now. You know what I'm saying? Without good design, good technology, the flex is the brand and the price.
Well, there's also, like, I see New Balance doing, they've entered the market, they've done good collaborations with people like, you know, Joe Fresh Goods or Salehe Bembury or even Action Bronson, like, so they've got some excitement going on. You see, I think that, like, as far as, I've said it before, like, the AE1, that actually looks like a brand new basketball sneaker, and then they got the energy of Anthony. Like, that Anthony Edwards ad campaign feels like vintage Nike shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's Adidas. And that shoe, you ain't finna walk around and be cool in that shoe. Stop it.
I wouldn't wear it. I've seen some people play it to where it look fly. That's not close.
It's close to the, what'd you call them, foam posits? It's close. But they still don't look like you walk around the street with them shits on. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's just me.
I'm just throwing my own little shit on it. You know what I'm saying? And even with New Balance, uh-huh, they rely on their old silhouettes. They have changed the logos up. Some made them bigger, like the soles. But they still rely on a very standard, basic silhouette.
Yeah, but I think they also benefit from the fact that people weren't really paying so much attention. It was obviously regionally. So it looks new. And also, and I'll say this, and maybe it's also now I'm thinking of my peer set and the people that I, you know, my age group, New Balance is also, you know, like you realize that comfort is a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That comfort is something nice. Like, you could though, go get you some Jordan 1s if you want.
Oh, no,
they cool, but don't walk too far. Especially if they're trying to make them like the old days where it's mad hard. Yeah, them shits is going, yeah, get bro. Your arch is going. Something nice. Something nice. But I will say this is my last point that I was like looking at. You know, Drake has sold almost 250,000 off this Party Next Door shit. So he's aggressively like making a comeback. We'll see what happens. I think he's going to be good 6 months and whatever, whatever. Nike, you know, they doing all of this, you know, technology or whatever. But like the stock price is still like 28% down from a year ago and 50% down from 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So something... they gotta do something. Shout out to my cousin. Shout out to Dr. Gathers. One of the things he said, I thought this shit was kind of slick. He was like, you know, because they brought back their old CEO. You know what I mean? They rehired a CEO that left, I think, or whatever. And he was like, dog, they should just make Jordan the CEO. And I was like, that'd be hard. Just at least just for the press conference alone.
Yeah, the press conference. Just the, but after that, nigga, you're gonna get a lot of brand Jordan looks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, let's say a lot of wide legs.
A little high denims. A lot of denim.
Oh, man. Big hoop earrings.
Maybe they might bring, but that's why Jalen Hurts was bringing back that nostalgia hoop earrings, backwards Kango. You know?
Yeah, yeah, he bringing it back. He bringing back that shit. You know what I mean?
He might be on to something.
We'll see what happens. That was fire. I will say that. I don't know if, did you see that, Teddy Pendergrass ad that Nike did for Jalen Hurts when they won the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. That shit was fire. And again, salute to Nigel Sylvester. His storytelling is always good. But you know, some of them, to your point again, some of them shoes is like, it feels like just museum work. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'll see the shit on my timeline or whatever, but like, I'm not jumping through no fucking hoops. And I know it's going to be very hard to get these sneakers. So I don't even set myself up for failure. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I do feel like there's on a certain level, there's a lot of people that feel that way too. They just been damn near demoralized or like, you know what, man, fuck it. Yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'll spend this money somewhere else. I'm not competing to spend my money.
Real style people, man. Real people who just put shit together, they going to put that shit together, man. Whether they got the Nike shit or whatever the next shit is, man. They going to discover it. That's the whole point of this stuff is discovery and showing the world something new and then the world jump on it and then somebody else do something else new. That's the spirit of the whole shit. And once you control it with all this fake scarcity and fake limited runs and we only got 300 and we giving them all the rich white kids, it gets whack. You know what I'm saying? And who wants to be dealing with the whack shit, man? You know what I'm saying? So it's like you just keep going until we find the next shit.
So, yeah, that's just some food for thought. Y'all let us know what you think. Have y'all been paying attention to what's going on in the market? How you feel about that? You know what I mean? That's just something that's been kind of floating around in my head for a little bit. I'm curious to know your thoughts on it. Hit us in the comments, you know. But, you know, I feel like it's about that time to transform and roll out. All right, so that's what it is. I already hit y'all with those dates, but shit, just as a reminder, March 14th, Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia. March 28th and 29th, Brokerage, Belmore, Long Island. June 26th to the 28th, Batavia, Illinois, Comedy Vault. There will be more to come, DamianLemon.com. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.